City Current, produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or listen on KDAC 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to another edition of City Current. I'm Mary Van Sickle. It is Wednesday, July 25th, and we're in the studios here at Dakota Media Access. It's a Bismarck City Current, so Assistant City Administrator Jason Tomonic's with us.
Good morning.
As always.
As always. Happy to be here.
Thank you.
We've got a guest.
Yes, and our guest, Gabe Schell, Bismarck City Engineer.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
You had a meeting last night. We've had actually a break from City Current for a few weeks. So
we have.
Thanks for returning once again, Jason.
My pleasure.
Good to have you back. So Bismarck City Commission met last night. It was a pretty meaty meeting. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of big issues coming.
Lots of good stuff again.
In front of the commission, and we have a new mayor and a new commissioner there, so that's always interesting. But before we get into the agenda from last night, I just wanted to kind of talk about a couple of other issues that are city-related going on right now. One of them being the library is getting a new roof over there and some new windows. So there's a lot of activity over there.
There is. There's a lot of construction, but everyone should know operations are normal at the library. Regular hours, all the programming, all the activities are still available. Sure, be mindful of the construction workers in the area, but this project is necessary. There was some trouble with the roof, a little bit of leaking going on, so this will repair all of that.
Well, it's normal aging.
It is. It's
maintenance.
I believe it's about 30 years old.
Yeah.
The roof, the existing roof.
Every 30 years, we all need a little bit.
Yeah, we could use a little tune-up here and there. So things are on schedule. Looking to get wrapped up later this year. I think there have been a few things they found along the way, which is normal. Mm-hmm. As you start to peel back some of that old material, there's some secrets hiding underneath it, but things are looking good going forward. So
I drove by the other day, and there was a large crane with some really big packages on it that were lifting up some roofing material.
Yep.
So, yeah, they've got some major construction. Yeah.
Parking's compromised a little bit, but you know, maybe ride your bike instead.
Everything's going okay over there. And you said there was a haiku contest happening?
I believe there's a construction-related haiku contest for anybody that's at the library. They can submit a haiku poem and just kind of have some fun with what's going on. So
it's on their website, I'm sure.
I'm sure it is.
Or their Facebook page or whatever. Just check out the library
website. Stop by,
website.
Check them out.
Yeah. And Gabe, we've had some major construction projects going on in the city this summer already. Washington Street looks like it's pretty much wrapped up, and then now we've started on 4th Street. Can you talk a little bit first about Washington Street and where that's at?
Certainly. As part of our pavement maintenance projects, we try to look at what other infrastructure needs to be completed. And so this year on North Washington Street, we replaced the water mains underneath Washington Street for the Public Works Department. The water main work itself is near complete, and so we'll come back through now and do finishing touches on restoring the yards and restoring boulevards, as well as then doing a pavement mill and overlay on Washington Street between Divide Avenue and Century Avenue. We'll have that work. So right now they're still working on some of the concrete work before we come in there and mill off that existing asphalt and put in a new lift.
I noticed that last night. I was driving North Washington and saw some new curbs pieces already in there that have been replaced.
So as part of those projects, we go through every about 15 years and hit these streets. So when we see things that are defective, whether it's a driveway that's holding water or a curb, something like that, that's our opportunity to kind of fix these pieces to restore it to a better condition than when we found it.
Sure. And now last week, I think you started just downtown on the 4th Street section.
Yep, that's correct. We'll have work on 4th Street as well as on 3rd Street. The water main work on 4th Street will be from Rosser, I believe, and even on 3rd Street, we'll go to as far south as Rosser up to Avenue C and even further north up to Boulevard in some stretches. So that, once again, we appreciate the public's patience as we disrupt their typical travel pattern, myself included, as I get through, like, which way can I go now? And I'm the city engineer, and I don't even know necessarily what's the best route to get from point A to point B, but we appreciate the public patience as we work through these things, and so we can get better infrastructure that is there to serve them.
It's a necessary evil. Mm-hmm. We know that. Jason provided a photograph this morning of some of the pipe that was taken out of the 4th Street water main.
Yep.
We'll pop that up on the screen if we can and show people that this is a major corrosion that's happening. So, if you question why we need to replace these water mains, this will hopefully answer that question.
Yeah, definitely some restricted flow water flow when you've got that much sediment that's gathering in the pipe.
So anytime you have that outer diameter of the pipes might be 16 inches, but the inner diameter is obviously not that anymore once it's corroded to that point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Another project that you're heavily involved in is a demo project called North Dakota Moves that was just installed a couple weeks ago in downtown Bismarck at one of our major intersections of 5th and Main. And it was it's been an interesting experiment so far.
Yeah, it's the project that we're working with the DOT on is a curb extension in high visibility crosswalks at 5th Street and Main Avenue. That concept was identified in previous master planning projects that the DOT or that even the MPO in Bismarck area has proposed in the downtown sub area plan. And this is a kind of a unique opportunity for us to try out some of those improvements on a temporary basis using paint and delineators instead of ripping up the curb and putting in what that permanent curb extension could look like. So anytime we have opportunity to do that at a low cost and try out those solutions to see if they are appropriate, a lot of times at that planning level, you don't really get into the minute details of what would this really look like. And so these are great opportunities for us to try that out.
Mm-hmm. So first, when it went up a couple of weeks ago, what we're talking about is curb extensions and also referred to as bump outs to increase pedestrian safety.
It's really shortening the crosswalk,
right.
is really the intent to help pedestrians get across the street a little more quickly.
And we have a map on our screen for the people who are watching on a screen of the actual location and the design, the initial design that went in place, and that it was implemented a couple weeks ago. You're taking comments, you're still taking some feedback, and one of the initial responses, people were a little more concerned with the aesthetic of it rather than the function of it, and they were a little over-the-top comments on all the polka dot design. And
I think we got their attention.
The polka dots were referred to as pepperoni pizza or the circus sort of things, and the game of Twister was also commented a lot. I think the important thing is that treatment is just to kind of show what that space could look like if it was a sidewalk. So really the polka dots don't mean anything. And I think the common misconception from the public was that we are going to paint the downtown with polka dots. And so then the comment we received from a lot of people saying, no, we don't really want it to paint it with polka dots. And so it kind of necessarily missed the point of what we were trying to show. I mean, we were looking for the comments on your ability to take a right turn lane, your ability to drive through the corridor, truck deliveries through the downtown. And on the other side, the pedestrian experience of saying, wow, it's nice that I only have to cross 36 feet now instead of 56 feet. That's probably better for the pedestrian. And so it's just kind of trading off what's more important in these sort of corridors and what takes priority.
So you listened to the comments and reacted very quickly. Department went through, did you say yesterday, and got rid of the polka dots. So now we're just going to focus on the function
just
of
high
the
visibility. Yeah, just the bright colors and what it could look like.
So how much longer will this be in place then, this temporary demo project?
So we'll have this out through probably the first full week in August, so August 8th through the 10th, sometime in there that we'll go through and I'll remove the channelization that's out there and power out, wash anything else that may be still present. We probably will do a touch-up on the red crosswalk paint just so that's carried forward, and so it kind of looks like we'll put it back the way we found it as much as possible. There still might be some white edge lines that will remain for a period of time, but those kind of disappear as soon as a couple of vehicles drive over top of them.
Maybe some remnants of the polka dots exist, but just try and ignore them. What are you looking for, Gabe, now? You're looking for feedback.
Yeah, looking for feedback. When I had visited with the DOT, they're doing most of the online or the engagement of the website. They said at one point last week they had 1,000 comments statewide on all of their demonstration projects, and 800 of those were from Bismarck. It's a great public outreach. It's great information, and we're hoping that the same people that might have said, I hate the polka dots, go back on there and say, hey, this is different. Maybe put back something else, or I'd like that interaction. I think that's one of the attributes of the demonstration type project is that it is nimble. And if we didn't like doing it in one corner, we could just pull off after 2 days if we wanted to. If we want to react to the polka dot concept, that's something we can do too.
Later. Yes. Yeah. Well, and these are concepts that are proven to be safer. It's not like you're pulling this out of the air. So we need to give it a try because that is a very heavily trafficked intersection and there are a lot of people walking around there.
Yep.
So
and these concepts are really already in place a block north of here when the Chancellor Square area of Broadway and Thayer. It's the same concept of having a very short crossing distance for the pedestrian that makes it a little more uncomfortable for the driver. But that's kind of the purpose of that is that you're not comfortable as a driver because you're the one protected in a vehicle, mm-hmm. and the pedestrian's standing out there in a much more vulnerable position.
Exactly.
As downtown continues to become even more vibrant, we're going to see an influx, an increase in mm-hmm. pedestrian traffic. And Gabe's right. As a motorist, you really need to slow down.
Yeah.
And the idea is here is to make it more pedestrian friendly because yeah. we want to see people out and about and enjoying everything downtown has to offer.
So give it a chance and then provide some feedback.
Yeah, that's what we're looking for.
Some good feedback on your website. Okay. Getting onto the agenda last night, on the consent agenda, again, the consent agenda items don't usually have any kind of discussion.
Don't
but
always
I thought
get a
it was,
lot of attention.
Yeah, a couple of things I just wanted to pull out. One of them is reconstruction, restoration of the Belle Mayhew seating. Mm-hmm. That is a project that's been talked about for quite a while. The event center staff manages the Belle Mayhew, and it's a treasure, treasure in our downtown area, over 100 years old, and the seating is well worn and needs some reconstruction.
Not quite 100 years old, but it's ready to be upgraded.
So as we understand it, again, we don't have verification on this, but as we understand it, this is a restoration. We're not pulling the chairs out
right.
and completely redesigning. What they're pulling out is the foam and the upholstery and mm-hmm. reupholstering and mm-hmm. refoaming them, repadding yeah. them.
Exactly.
So that's going to move forward.
Correct.
And we'll kind of keep our eye on that.
I think the action last night was to issue an RFP to find a vendor that's capable of providing that service, mm-hmm. the product.
Another thing on the consent agenda item last night was the Renaissance Zone did a plan update. And this mm-hmm. was basically an introduction?
Right. It was an introduction and a call for a hearing. So the Renaissance Zone Authority or the Renaissance Zone program is governed by a local development plan. And that's basically the guidelines that are specific to Bismarck. It's gone through a number of updates over the lifespan of the Renaissance program. There are some minor little tweaks proposed. This has been vetted first by the Renaissance Zone Authority. But part of what the process is will involve a public hearing. So if anybody has comments, they're more than welcome to find the document on our website.
Mm-hmm.
It would be part of last night's agenda packet. The proposed updates are clearly marked. They're in red font. They're underlined. It should be easy to find them. And if anybody's got questions, I would encourage them to contact our planning office.
Community Development.
Daniel Nairn specifically is the Renaissance Zone Program Manager for the City of Bismarck. But any questions, comments, we'd love to hear from everybody.
These kinds of plans need to be looked at periodically. And I remember during one campaign or another, it was during the Renaissance Zone discussion about whether we were going to renew this mm-hmm. program for the city. And there was some comment made regarding the Renaissance Zone about why they continue to change the boundaries. They mm-hmm. really don't know what they're doing. And honestly, this is the way a Renaissance Zone was designed.
Right.
It's supposed to change
Absolutely.
And evolve with the community yeah. as things happen and projects are completed.
Right. As blocks are deemed complete, buildings are mm-hmm. renovated, restored, rehabilitated, that boundary can be fluid. And
exactly.
it can be replaced and relocated in other parts of our community. The map that's on the screen right now demonstrates that over the years there have been a significant number of modifications to the boundaries.
And that was the intention.
Absolutely.
It's supposed to evolve.
We're following state law. We're following all the guidelines that were given here. And we've got four or five blocks that have been fully completed, meaning mm-hmm. all the buildings have been either constructed new, renovated, rehabbed, whatever the case may be. So the changes that are proposed here are responsive to some of the costs associated with construction in mm-hmm. Bismarck. We looked at those dollar amounts a number of years ago. Obviously, those things tend to change from year to year. So this is really being responsive to some of the changes in the construction industry as well.
Right. So also on last night's agenda, and this goes into the regular agenda then, is another plan that is going through an update, and that's your future land use plan.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about that. What was the general gist of this update?
The changes that were approved last night respond to properties that have been annexed into city limits. So the mm-hmm. future land use plan primarily looks at everything outside our annexed territory. So we're looking at the areas in which we grow into. The changes last night are responsive to any properties that are annexed to the city. They are no longer part of the future land use plan because they're part of the current activities. So anything that has been developed, zoned, or implemented into city limits, it can be removed from the plan, and this will recognize that going forward that there is a process to eliminate that from any future land use needs.
So again, it's like the Renaissance Zone, this plan has to evolve and change as things are put in place.
And I believe Gabe would have seen this at the Planning and Zoning Commission level because that follows that process of an advisory board, public hearings, feedback and input. Last night was the action from the City Commission to finalize all of those.
And another action that they somewhat related to all this is a special assessment district was confirmed last night for new annexed properties.
Correct.
So that's a regular process as well.
That's right. And so the properties that were annexed would have had some type of costs, infrastructure costs associated with growth and development in that area. When those developments happen and there's costs that are attributed to those properties that are outside city limits, the City of Bismarck covers those costs. We often refer to it as being held in abeyance. So what the action was last night was for those properties that have costs associated with development features, now that they are part of the city limits, those costs can be transferred to those properties, and then the city recoups the money that it covered those costs held in abeyance.
Is it done on a as-needed basis as these projects come into being, or is it an annual?
It's an annual action, and then the intent is to capture any of those properties from the previous year.
Yep. Okay.
Exactly right.
All right. Gabe, you had another item on the agenda last night for the commission, and that had to do with a project actually that Burleigh County brought forward, and that is the a roundabout that's been suggested on Highway 1804 and North Washington that hit a bit of a roadblock. So you want to explain a little bit what's going on there?
Yep. The county is working with the DOT on a project for at the intersection of, like you said, North Washington Street and North Dakota Highway 1804 to put a roundabout at that intersection. The county's been working with the DOT. The county's doing the design, but the design has to be approved by the DOT, and they kind of ran into a little bit of a roadblock from the standpoint of what the county wanted to see out there versus what the DOT wanted to see out there. Mm-hmm. And so the county reached out to the city to say, can you offer some support to us in our pursuit of having what they would consider a better design by having it be built out for the future needs of the area. So for my request to the commission was because this would be a roundabout that the foreseeable future would be, you know, have some city jurisdiction over, that we have a vested interest in what that design looks like, and to offer support to Burleigh County to at least have that future thought in mind when they're designing it, so that we, when we inherit that piece of infrastructure, have maybe a better piece than we would have otherwise.
It was a unanimous vote by the commission to definitely support the county in moving forward with this, or coming back to DOT and asking for them to reconsider. Is that basically the action?
That's correct. And then the design that the Burleigh County is proposing is very, very, very similar. I don't want to say identical, but it's as identical as you can be without being a carbon copy of the roundabout that this county has at the intersection of 66th Street and Old County or County 10 east of Bismarck. So it's a very similar concept that's out there. So if you've driven through that, it would look very similar to that. So it's not that they're trying something that's not a tried and true design by any stretch of the imagination. It's just something that maybe is built for not today's capacity, but for the future capacity that they would see.
So generally the DOT's objection was it was too big for our current traffic on that.
I think that's their main objection, is that you don't need this now. You might need it 10 years from now. Hmm. And the county's position is, well, if we might need it 10 years from now, can't we just put it in now? And that's what they're just trying to work through.
Yeah.
And the DOT would be supportive if the county could come back with some traffic operations analysis saying that this is why we need it now, or even in the future. And so they're working through that process as well on a separate track.
Well, I think that, again, as somebody who drives this road fairly frequently, there is tremendous growth in this area. And we all know that St. Mary's High School is going up there as well, which is going up very quickly. And on the corner of 57th and North Washington, there's also, I believe, a medical clinic that's
mixed-use development right at the corner of the northeast quadrant of that intersection. So, again, more traffic generation, more people in that area.
Yeah, I don't think it's a real stretch to say that this is ripe for development. It's already happening. Everything's growing right up around it. So hopefully that roundabout will make its way through and we'll be able to move forward on that because... And we've talked about this before. Roundabouts are the future. I mean, we sooner or later we got to get used to them in this city.
So. Yeah, the roundabout has its it has its place. So it's not a solution that works in every single intersection, certainly. But as long as you're being strategic about where you place them and ensuring that you have the right amount of room and the right traffic volumes there, it's an excellent traffic control device when compared to a traffic signal that forces everyone to stop at some point. Roundabout, you get to kind of just go slowly through it. So that's, mm-hmm. I think, from the public perception, a not having to go stop and go is definitely a win for the roundabout.
And the current conditions up there are not good. And we've seen that. We had a fatal accident a few years ago. Three individuals passed away from that accident. So mm-hmm. it's a little precarious up there, especially in the evening. There's no illumination, and it's a little scary. So hopefully some action can be taken on that. I'm glad mm-hmm. that they come back and... we'll see how that goes.
Yep. And fortunately, too, the DOT is very pro roundabout. They have multiple roundabouts on their system statewide. So it's not like we or the county is trying to force something that the DOT is not comfortable with. It's just kind of getting into those design details of what the actual geometry will look like that they're kind of having some issues with.
Gabe, what are the next steps, though? Where does it go from here, and how quickly could something start happening in this area?
Yep. So this plan would be for a planned construction in 2019. So that's part of the county's issue with this is that they're trying to get their plans out the door based on the dates that the DOT told them they need to have the work complete by. So that's also kind of part of this is that in order to get this constructed in 19, it needs to be bid relatively shortly here, and so any delay in redoing the design might affect that and affect the funding years that the DOT had identified for this. So that's the other part of this is just the timing component so that the project isn't delayed.
Okay. Well, we'll come back to this. Hopefully it'll happen soon. We'll get some action taken on that. You had another big project in front of the commission last night, and that was the transportation grant awards were provided by the North Dakota DOT, and Bismarck was fortunate to get a major grant through the program. We didn't get all we asked for, but the one, and that was the Main Avenue conversion to a three-way.
Yep. So the DOT has an urban grant program that was a brand new program that kind of fits into the governor's Main Street Initiative, an overarching concept of putting dollars in transportation investment dollars into your inner core of a community rather than spending it necessarily on outer rim capacity improvements that are also necessary but kind of fallen by the wayside. The inner core stuff for the glitzy new brand new road on the outer side of your community. So that's a new program that the DOT started for solicitation for 2019 and 2020 projects.
A very competitive process that we went through.
Yep. So the grant application that we submitted in February of 2018 had to list the specifics of the project that you wanted to do and why this fit into the concepts that the DOT and their selection group was looking for. Some of those concepts were multimodal facilities, ped bike sort of things, not necessarily all capacity related issues, but it had to be in specific parts of your community as well as specific types of improvements that the DOT was looking for.
We have a graph on the screen that shows all the applications that were submitted. 17 applications. Bismarck had, did you have five? Did I see five?
Five different
projects.
Five
from Bismarck, and mm-hmm. we had one out of the five that was awarded. But some of, obviously, the dollar figures changed depending upon the application. But it was a $710,000 plus award. Is that what you anticipate the cost of the project being, around $1 million from the conversation last night?
Yep. So the project cost and the scope of what we want to do on Main is to have that trial three-lane conversion, be in a more permanent setting. So right now we have to go out there and put pavement markings twice a year with just paint. So this project would put in permanent pavement markings that would hopefully wear better and have a longer life so that it's easier to designate which lane you should be in, especially in the winter conditions when it's hard to see that.
Sure.
The project would also improve the mast arms on the signals so that as you're driving through the corridor, you have that delineation of which lane you should be in based upon the signal light that is in the center of your lane, as opposed to right now that we weren't able to change that with the demonstration project. We just put some signs up that said, well, here's where the through lane is and here's where the left turn lane is.
Will we be able to get some yellow arrows along with this?
So part of this also would be traffic signal improvements. I mean, one of the major issues of the three lane is that the progression through that is poor, if you will, if you're just trying to get through the corridor.
Sure.
And that's mainly because you have an access point every block with another signal at every single block. So with this project, we're able to update the signal controllers that we have, as well as then implement different phasing that wouldn't be available if we had a four-lane section that is available if we have a three-lane section, similar, or like you mentioned, protected left turn phase on 3rd Street, particular, or on Main at 3rd, particular for the westbound traffic, so that they can get a green arrow for a period of time and get through that intersection on a protected phase, or some of the improvements that we'd be able to implement with this project now.
That'll be a great improvement. So timeline on this, you're going through a design process now.
Yep, so we'll go through our design process now, and through that design, we'll make some final recommendations and determinations on concepts similar to like the pedestrian curb extensions that we talked about earlier. I mean, that was a demonstration project that kind of fits into this what we're talking about for the permanent improvements. So this is an opportunity that the funding might be available there, and it's included in the scope to do a permanent solution, if you will, for the pedestrian curb extensions or those bump outs. So this is the time that we would kind of fully vet that and get that approved or recommended or not recommended from our department, and then approved by the commission before we, you know, have something out for bid for the contractors to look at.
It's kind of on a fast track. So you're going through the design process right now. Will it come back to the commission before it's finalized?
Yeah, it would go back to commission, especially if there's any large-scale type things. If we have to take away 5 parking spots to put in a curb extension, that's something we want to make sure we talk to the commission and vet that publicly so that everyone has an opportunity to say, well, I like this idea or I don't like this idea, and so that we can make that decision with the best available information that we can gather.
And if everything goes as planned, then you're looking at probably bidding out in January, February, getting bids?
Yeah, it'd be sometime in 2019. Earlier, the better, especially if we're making modifications to traffic signal mast arms. Those take time to manufacturer specifically for each site, so we'd want to make sure we have lead time so that we can have kind of the equipment ready to go to start that construction. It shouldn't take very long, I mean, in terms of disruption to the public, fortunately, because all the work really is taking place outside of the travel lanes. But when we start taking down signal mast arms for a period of time, there will be disruptions as we work through that process.
And we're looking at the physical space. This will encompass Main Avenue from Washington. On the west end?
Yep, so even, I guess, a little bit further west of Washington in terms of the transition itself, but then all the way to 7th Street.
To 7th.
That's kind of our canvas that we get to draw on.
All right. Yeah. Well, we'll be definitely talking about this one again and again, so looking forward to that. We only have a few seconds left, but we did want to talk about another major staff change in the city of Bismarck, another retiree. Yep. Our chief, Dan Donlan, made it official just
Last week Friday
was
July 20th
was
his last day, and the city commission held interviews for his replacement, and they interviewed 3 candidates. We did a nationwide search, had 11 qualified applicants that got pared down to 3. Those 3 individuals interviewed directly with the city commission, and their decision was made almost immediately on Friday, and they offered and he accepted the job to the deputy chief, Dave Drayevich, who is now our official police chief. So we have a new chief of police. Dave's been with the police department for close to 30 years, and he's done everything from traffic operations, canine investigations. So Dave knows a lot about how the police department works. He's worked with a lot of the staff over there for many years. So Dave will be our police chief going forward.
Pretty smooth transition.
Yeah, it will just be, and certainly
moved his desk over, took the stapler out, put it on that one.
Yeah, and kudos to Dave. Dave's a great guy, and he's going to do a really nice job leading the department.
Good, well known. Okay, thank you, Jason. Thanks for being here today.
My pleasure.
And Gabe, thanks for joining us.
Yep, no problem.
Appreciate it. And thank you for tuning in to this edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, you can contact the City of Bismarck at bismarcknd.gov or by calling 701-355-1300. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you'd like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD or on KDAC 102.5 FM radio. It's also available as a podcast on kdacfm.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.